Welcome today, guys. This is Billy Fletcher with the OptLab podcast, and super excited today to have Coach Braylon Meredith with us. Braylon is our head coach. He basically, not just head coach, but runs our Parisi program, Parisi Speed School program here at Alliance Champions. And so I'm going to let Braylon kind of talk a little bit about his story and so forth, but just give you a little background from me and how Braylon and I met. It's kind of a funny story because we had a situation where we were looking for a new program director, and then we're kind of scrambling a little bit one summer, and reached out to the strength coach at North Greenville, who we had a little bit of a relationship with, and Braylon was, I think, getting his master's at the time, and they were kind of had a it was during their kind of downtime. And we're fortunate to have Braylon come over and help us out during the summer. It was very, very impressive. And so, you know, as a coach right off the bat, one, I wish, you know, a lot of things I love about Braylon, but I'm kind of, you know, if I had his voice, I would be a better coach. Can't compete with that coaching voice. But anyway, so, and then so anyway, make a kind of long story short, we're sitting there talking one day, and I'm like, man, he looks familiar to me for some reason, like before this. And so we started talking. It turns out that I had gone to a South Carolina Strength Coaches Association meeting, and part of the seminar there was his coach at the time was, oh, not his coach at the time, but it had been his high school coach, Coach Caldwell, was his strength coach, strength conditioning coach. He's now at Spartanburg, I believe. And was at Woodruff at the time. And so he was doing a demo. Well, he wasn't doing a demo. He was coaching the demo. And Braylon was one of the guys demonstrating it. And I remember watching and thinking, man, those guys move well. That's kind of what I want to, you know, because we were just kind of getting started with trying to develop basically a speed program at Alliance. And then finally we started talking like, oh, my gosh, that's where I've seen you before. And so, anyway, it's kind of a funny thing. And so anyway, so Braylon, you know, then when he finished school, I was able to talk to him and talk him into coming here and you know, being one of our full-time coaches. And now, like I said, he's pretty much he's our speed guy. He's our Parisi speed school guy. He takes care of all of that for us. And does a great job. And then even last year, he's a pretty humble guy, so I'm going to brag him a little bit. Last year, we're going to try to get Bill Parisi on one of our podcasts here in the next few weeks. He can tell his story from the Parisi Speed School, because down here in the South, it's not as well known as it is in, you know, like where it originated was in New Jersey. So up north, very well known up there, but Bill is basically the founder of that. Braylon, I could probably talk about that a little bit more, but Braylon, a very big honor, was selected as the Performance Coach of the Year in the whole Parisi network last year, and so he's done a fantastic job. So we want to talk a little bit today. One, let people kind of get to know Braylon a little bit more other than just seeing him in here coaching and a little bit of his background story, and then kind of some of our kind of mission that we have with the Parisi Speed School here in Greenville. So good to see you today, Braylon. I'll see you every day, but good to have you on the podcast today. And if you don't mind, just kind of, you know, just tell a little bit of your story. Your story is shorter than mine because you're about half my age. So, but everybody's got one, right? So if you want to share a little bit about, you know, how you got from, you know, Woodruff, South Carolina to North Greenville to here, and any part of that you want to share, we'd love to hear.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me on. My story starts. I grew up in a family of three, and I was the youngest of three, and I'm the youngest by about 10 years, so it was a pretty big age gap in there. So I was always the kid that had to hang around my older brother, or older sister, while my mom went to work or something. So I was kind of being raised by them a little bit. Through those early years of growing up, kind of developed some toughness early because you had to hang with the older kids. You didn't have a choice. You had to go. So whatever they said went. And that toughness carried over into my athletic life, in which it was actually my idea to start playing sports. I remember being at school one day, and we were just playing kickball. And some of the kids kind of had a wristband on, and I was kind of looking like, okay, that's interesting. And I overheard them talking about playing Little League football. And so for whatever reason in my mind, I took the wristband and seen them moving athletically. I'm just like, oh, okay, football, cool. I want to play. And so the next fall came around, I asked my mom, could I play football? And, of course, she said, yeah, she didn't have a problem with it. And I ended up playing in our little small, little rec football league. And Woodruff is one of those towns, kind of like 96, where Billy's from. It's very, very small. Everything's very tight-knit. You got a lot of relatives, and the people that aren't your relatives, you treat them like your relatives anyway. And so I started football that year. I believe I was a fifth grader. Yeah, so I was 10. So I played fifth grade. I played sixth grade. And then after that, I moved on to a little, quote-unquote, AAU team for a year playing football. And then from there, I moved on to middle school. And then that transitioned into the high school realm. And so coming up playing football, that added to my toughness. So I was tough coming up as a child because I was youngest. And then I became even tougher because I played a contact sport like football. And so once I got to high school, we began to lift weights a little bit. And I can remember it started out, we got a new high school coach going into my ninth grade season. And he came in town. He kind of came in our middle school gym because we were transitioning from the eighth grade to the ninth grade. And he kind of was painting a picture for us what it's going to be like playing in W. Varner Stadium. That's Willie Varner, for the ones that don't know who that is. And he's kind of painting a picture what it'd be like on Friday nights and everything. And so I remember him saying that, you know, a lot of you guys have potential, you know. And I remember him pointing to some guys and telling them what he saw in them. And I remember I was not one of those guys that he pointed to. And so I'll save that little bit and come back to that. But anyway, to start off in high school, our actual head coach was our strength coach for a little bit in high school. So, you know, he kind of taught us what he knew. He played at Walford, so he taught us what he knew a little bit. But he didn't know a whole lot. He was trying to wear two hats at one time, which wasn't the best thing to do. And I really didn't officially get a legit strength coach until I was 16. So that would put me in my junior year of high school. And that's what Coach Caldwell that Billy was referencing to. And once he came, you know, I took that tough mindset I had from being a kid, from playing football all my life. And I also played other sports such as baseball. But anyway, took that tough mindset. And when Coach Caldwell got in the picture, he began to teach us what that toughness and what that hard work looked like in a weight room or on an open field when you're training for a sport and you're dedicating everything you got to it. And so having Coach Caldwell added to that toughness. And then that showed me that I could take that and actually be a better player. And so that made me a better player on the field, and I ended up earning a scholarship to North Greenville University. So I graduated Woodruff in 2010, and then I went on to North Greenville University starting that summer, starting a summer school program and working out with the team and such. And so when I got to North Greenville, it was kind of funny because at the time we didn't have a strength coach when I got there. And so, once again, I had a coach running the strength program. And he was trying to wear two hats, and we were doing okay. But you could tell it was kind of missing a little bit there. And so, it was my junior year again, this time in college. We got a strength coach by Coach Bernardi that actually introduced me and Billy and how I got here and got this job because of him. And so he began to take up our strength program. It was incredible. He's incredible. He's now a Furman. So I give all props to him. And he was keeping us strong, keeping us fast. And from there, I finished up football in 2014. And then I joined the staff as a grad assistant, first as a football coach for a season. And it was okay, but it wasn't really what I thought it was going to be. And then I joined Coach Bernardi that following summer in the weight room, and I'm beginning to learn under him and help train teams. And then from there, he was able to pass me along to Billy during our downtime, and I began to help out Billy with, at the time, their Parisi Speed School program. And then once I finished up, I believe that day I graduated, that's when I was in contact with Billy and joined here at the gym and kind of been here ever since then. Mm-hmm. And it's been fun. So that's been, what, five, going on 6 years now.
Yeah, time flies.
It does.
It does. Yeah.
It does.
Yeah. So let me kind of give a little background on the speed school from my perspective, and then Braylon, you know, have Braylon kind of give feedback as well. Is that so? I had a very different, you know, in terms of like big, you know. So I'm 53. Yeah, 50, think about how old I am. 53. And how old are you now?
27.
27. So again, like double Braylon's age. So when I was coming up, I had great coaches. So, you know, same as Braylon, you know, small, you know, 96 Woodruff, you know, even my head football coach, Shell Dula's kind of legend. He was a coach under Willie Varner. And I used to hear stories. He was assistant coach under Willie Varner. So there's a lot of connections there. But same thing, small school and all that. So I had great coaches, Coach Dula, and then I had Coach Sullivan was the track coach. Why he asked me to come out for track, I don't know, but I'm glad he did. I learned a lot from that. And then Coach Goo, he got there during my high school. He was kind of my mentor in the weight room, and also, you know, track and football coach as well. But we didn't really have any kind of speed program, so. The mindset, we had a good track team, but the mindset was basically, you know, back then I believe we're kind of talking about genetics the last couple podcasts. So your genetics, obviously you may have a propensity towards one thing or another. So so in track, I actually was like a middle distance runner. And then in football, I was a lineman, which that didn't probably happen too often these days. But the training I was doing for that were very different. So, you know, football is more of an explosive speed. You know, obviously to be especially if you're going to play at any level in college, you got to have some level of speed, acceleration, that sort of thing, if you're going to play maybe anything other than a kicker or something, right?
Correct.
And so, but we weren't really – and I knew I wasn't fast. I think my fastest, honestly, that I remember running – almost embarrassing, I guess, but I think maybe a 5.2, which is okay if you're 300 pounds, but I was like 160, so not very fast, right? So I didn't know how to get faster. So I would go out and run, you know, I was in good shape. I could run for a long time, but I didn't know anything about how to develop speed. And so we started kind of, as I got more into my strength conditioning career, that's really what we focused on was strength and conditioning. And if someone... I feel very confident I can get anybody stronger, and I feel very confident I can get people in shape. But when we start looking at athletes, you know, speed is a skill, you know, and that's not how I was, you know, not what I learned as a kid and a young athlete. And, you know, I think we were just talking about this a couple of weeks ago. I probably wrote an article we found back when we were moving, some kind of a my wife might say I'm a hoarder. I don't throw stuff away. So I found this old article I'd written talking about, we didn't do any speed training at the time, but it was saying, like, if you wanted to develop, work on attributes for speed and so forth, you know, the go-to place is Parisi Speed School and Bill Parisi, because there he was kind of like a, more or less like a, you know, he's really one of the first ones doing that, you know, teaching that you can teach speed. And coaching speed and all of that. So I did not have a background in it. So that's why we kind of sought out Parisi, because I wanted to go to the, you know, where I thought was the best to learn. And so that's kind of why we're affiliated with Parisi. And then of course, you know, Braylon came in and had a great background, and like to think he's taken that background. And I see him studying all the time. You know, watching video, making notes, trying to take that to the going to the. All the trainings that Parisi offers to try to add to that knowledge and so forth. But we've talked about it is that's, you know, we want to do a better job of communicating that because it is something you can get better at. So you don't have to be an elite athlete. You can still get faster and not just get faster, but also if you learn mechanics, you can also do a huge favor to yourself as far as preventing injuries. And so, and sometimes I've even had a client one morning, I think, you know, ask me, you think you could help my son get faster playing baseball? And I'm like, we've been here like 3 years with the big Parisi sign. So I take responsibility for that because sometimes we just assume people know. And so that's kind of part of what this is about today, too, is like hey, this is something that anybody can get better at, and that's kind of what we're here for. And, you know, then it's a choice. Then if you know it's a choice, okay, you can make that choice. You may not want to work on it. You know, may not, like Brandon said, you may not want to put 100% into it. But if you do, that's kind of what we're here to help kids do, you know, is become their, just like we talk about, you know, this is the Op Lab podcast, but it's the whole gym is like the optimization lab. Like it's to help people, not just adults,
yes, sir,
but help the kids optimize as much as possible. And so kind of one of my passions with that is if you can teach that stuff early on,
yes, sir,
you know, not just the physical stuff, but the mental stuff. You know, that can carry over for a lifetime. And so, anyway, that's kind of the big, from my perspective, kind of the big mission with the speed school is for the kids. You know, we have you know, our jiu-jitsu program, which is a different element. It's the same thing as trying to help kids optimize. That might be a different path, but if they play sports, other than jiu-jitsu, not that we have some of the kids that have done, like George, for instance, started out working. I think even was that last summer that he kind of did a little internship with you last summer.
He did well,
you know, and learning, physically how to move and all that. Even for the sport of jiu-jitsu, it can be beneficial. But for any sport that requires running,
yes, sir, you know, that's the main thing.
You know, the speed school is going to be a huge component of that. So. Do you mind sharing a little bit about, you know, we talk about this quite a bit, but like kind of your, almost like your big picture of why, how you see, how does that fit in for you for like as a coach and how you see that playing out with, you know, how you're working with your kids now?
So kind of my big picture why or what attracts me to the Parisi Speed School is, starting with myself, I was always an above average strength type of kid, even before weight training. I think some of that, like Billy was speaking about, it's probably genetics and then just the environment I grew up in. It was a little hostile, you know, kind of in backyard wrestling, playing football, high impact. Luckily, I didn't get hurt. As I got older, though, I realized probably about eighth grade, I wasn't very fast. I wasn't overly fast. You know, I wasn't coming in first in the sprints. I wasn't getting any recognition for being fast. I was more on just the above average strength side. That was it. You know, I was a little bit bigger. And so got into high school, like I said, and I leaned out a little bit. And I got a little bit faster, but I still wasn't very fast. And so I didn't get exposed to speed until I was about 16. And honestly, I had it for a little bit. Then I had a serious injury, an ACL tear, and I missed it for a little bit. So I really didn't get but probably about a year or so exposure to speed before college. And so once again, realizing my deficiency in speed, I think that's the main thing for me, what draws me to the Parisi Speed School is, like Billy said, is how they teach it, that speed is a skill. And even if you don't have the genetics to be fast, if your parents weren't sprinters or fast on the football field or on the volleyball court or whatever, doesn't mean you can't be fast. You're just going to learn these mechanics and this technique, and we're going to learn how to run a full-speed sprint and let you recover and do that over and over again until we change your muscle types and everything to make you faster, to reach your max speed potential, whatever you want to call it. And so I think, for me, that's how I approach it when I'm with my kids. You know, it's rare that I get some kids in here that are freakishly fast. I mean, I think I got maybe about two or three right now that I've seen come in the door, and they were fast before I even said a word to them. And I just kind of helped them fix their form a little bit, and which helped them get faster. And so, but for the rest of my kids, the other 85-90% of my kids, though, I treat them just like myself. You know, we're not very fast, so we're going to be on the details, just like Parisi Speed School says. We're going to be on the details. We're going to be on your effort. You know, I'm going to be honest with you when I know you can do better. And I think that's the main thing what draws me to that, and that's kind of how I coach kids, and I think that's how I see myself on down the line. I don't think it ever change, because I'm always going to look at my kids through my eyes, and even when I get those rare kids that walk in that are God-given speed before I say anything to them, mm-hmm. I'm still going to be on them the same exact way, you know, change up wordage a little bit, but those other 90% of kids, I'm going to put them in that average speed category with me, or below average speed, that we got to be on the details of the movement. So,
yeah. And I think you hit it too. Like even with the, you know, the kids who are fast, you know, that technique's just as important.
It is.
If they want to optimize it.
Yes, sir.
You know,
yes, sir.
It's like if you, you know, what's the saying, you know, hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard, right?
Yes, sir.
So you can, you know, if you're one of those kids that wants to push and work and grind, okay, the right way, mm-hmm. you know, we talked about that in our last podcast with being smart. And that's one of the things, like if I could go back in time, you know, and say, what would you do different about, well, a lot of things, but just be smarter about it. It's not always about working harder.
Yes, sir.
You know, we pride ourselves on, you know, working hard and being tough and all that. But if you can apply that in a smart way, you know, that's going to pay more dividends and you know, have less injuries and things like that. And so, you know, no matter what level, I think that's more, to me, I think you're kind of on the same page. It's more about really if I'm working, you know, with a client or, you know, with one of the kids, you know, it's really what excites me, and I think, you know, I want to put words in your mouth, but it's more about helping that kid or client be their best.
Yes, sir.
It's not about them being better than somebody else. And so that's what kind of gets us fired up is, you know, the kid willing to work hard and focus and be coachable and that sort of thing is pretty exciting. You know, and then you see the changes.
Yes, sir.
And that's, you know, it's always fun to see. You know, with you know, one of the big things we're trying to really emphasize, even with our adult program here at the gym, is measurables, having measurables. You know, so if you want to manage something, you need to measure it. You know, so if someone comes to me and says, "Hey, I want to lose weight or get leaner or build muscle," well, we got to measure it because otherwise, we're not going to know what direction we're going in. And one of the awesome things about you know, speed school is we have measurables.
Yes, sir, we do.
So, you know, if you're not getting faster, the you know, we had a laser timer, so it pretty much tells us.
Yes, sir.
You know, it's not like a, you know, some people are really good with a stopwatch,
mm-hmm.
but you might be off a little bit on a stopwatch. That laser timer is pretty, it's going to be consistent.
Yes, sir.
You know, and so you know if you're getting faster or not, and so yeah, it's a great way to build that. And I, you know, my son, you know, played lacrosse in high school and graduated last year. And so, you know, one of the things I try to tell him is like, look, if you want to be the best you can be, okay, it's okay if you know, you might choose another area. Like my daughter, she's not interested in being the best athlete. I'm okay with that. That's fine. But if you're going to be an athlete and you want to be your best, you know, this is, to me, is a piece of the puzzle. And so kind of using the example is like what I use the example was like, you know, I'm, you know, again, 30 years ago, oh, gosh, yeah, more than 30 now, in high school playing sports, right? So if you don't take advantage of the speed stuff and all of that, then you're the same as I was 30 years ago. But if you take advantage of it, you know, then you can be that much further ahead. You know, so you're like, you're living, you know, like, so that's the cool thing. Like now with what we know and you know, again, going back to being smart, we know so much more about training now than we did 30 years ago. But if you don't take advantage of it, you know, if you're just going out and playing a sport and you're not doing any kind of strength training, you're not doing any kind of speed work, you know, you're going to be like 30 years behind.
Yes, sir.
Potentially. Yes, potentially. Sir. So, you know, that's, again, I think sometimes people, you know, don't realize that, and again, it's a choice if they want to take advantage or not. But you know, again, that's kind of part of what we want to kind of go through here today. Is like, hey, you got opportunities, you know. So if you do want to you know, take advantage. Talk a little bit, if you don't mind, Braylon, about too. Another big side of it is, I know, like one of the things with Parisi we talk about is, you know, it is about speed, but it's also about really. It's, you know, the 40, that's what even I was talking about. The 40 is like, you know, for football especially, that's the kind of thing everybody looks at, the 40. But really, if you think about it, you know, unless you got on a breakaway run or something, mm-hmm. very seldom you're going to run 40 yards straight. So it's really more about, and where I think the skill is even more important is change of direction.
Yes, sir.
And so basically change of direction is acceleration, deceleration. And so kind of, do you mind talking about a little bit about that from the standpoint of not just from a sports performance standpoint, but also from an injury standpoint,
yes, sir.
How important that is?
Yes, sir. So speaking on change of direction or what Parisi now calls multidirectional speed, so same thing. it starts with that kid being able to control their body, and that requires the kid understanding wide base, and that means feet being shoulder width, maybe a little wider than shoulder. The kid understanding that they have to bend their knees when they change direction. That means their knees have to become like a spring and has absorbed the force. So if the kid is changing direction, their center of gravity should really be getting lower simultaneously as they're changing direction versus their center of gravity staying the same or even rising. It should actually be getting lower. So they should have a wide base, knees should be bent, center of gravity should be getting lower. And I think one that people often overlook is their posture. And that's just something in everyday life. But even when changing direction, they should still have a flat back and a neutral spine. And being able to do those things along with shifting their weight in whichever direction that they choose to go, I think those are the small little things when we speak about technique and everything, that if a kid doesn't understand that, they need to understand that, because a lot of their sports like soccer, lacrosse, football, baseball, basketball, I mean, majority of sports that you play on land, tennis, softball, you know, you name it, just about other than your aquatic sports, and maybe a golf or something, you know, those kids are absorbing force and they're stopping, they're decelerating and they're reaccelerating and then they're decelerating again, and it's over and over and over again. And so those kids have to understand that technique of that wide base and that low center of gravity and that strong back and weight distribution. And they have to be able to do that over and over again to help reduce the risk of injury. And that doesn't mean there's a 0% chance of injury, but that means that kid will reduce injury and they will play their sport more games, longer, healthier careers, and not get injured over injuries such as an ACL tear, which is a non-contact injury, which happens sometimes because of a bad landing or a bad deceleration. And that goes back to having, you know, bad technique, being too high, or your base being too narrow, or not absorbing the force, or not being strong enough, which people don't realize, to absorb the force. So I believe that, you know, being able to teach a kid a simple air squat, how to properly do it with the right technique, not, you know, focusing so much on getting the kid super low, but just teaching them how to keep a wide base and what to do with their knees and how to keep a good posture and how to brace, that carries over into change of direction. And then if they can master that change of direction, that's going to carry over to their sport and keep them safe for sure.
Awesome. Good explanation.
Thank you.
Should have had you as my speed coach. One other thing we've talked about a little bit, not to probably go off on a long tangent on this, but, you know, what's your opinion on, maybe that's not the right word, but just your view on, like year-round sports?
Yes, sir.
And potentially like overuse injuries and things like that. Do you know, I know we've talked about it. Kind of what's your viewpoint on that and how to incorporate that? I guess from my side of it, I see like some of the sports having a hard time getting in their strength and speed and conditioning work. And not to say they need conditioning work if they're playing the sport year-round, like soccer, they're getting a lot of conditioning in the sport.
Yes, sir.
But as far as the strength and how that can, again, kind of take them back to performance, but mm-hmm. also to injury,
mm-hmm.
What's kind of your viewpoint on that?
My viewpoint is I agree that overuse injuries are real, and that does often happen from year-round sports. And I believe that happens from the point that sport is wears and tears on the body. So if that kid is throwing that baseball every day as hard as they can, year-round, using that same shoulder to say they're right-handed over and over again, I feel like eventually that overusage is going to come. And so if that kid is not supporting their shoulder with some type of strength, and that doesn't mean just doing shoulder stuff, but just in general, some type of strength training to help counteract that and help keep that kid strong enough to do that movement throughout the year. Because the point is the kid wants to keep doing that movement. But if they're not strong enough to keep doing that movement, eventually an injury is going to come. And that injury comes because the kid's worn down. And that's an explosive movement. So movements like that, or like kicking a ball, or even running sprints, it taxes the body. So at the end of the day, the kid needs to be strong enough to perform that movement safely. And so I feel like that strength component does need to be added in there. And there's a gap that, you know, we're fighting to bridge between getting the strength component in there to those kids and educating them and their parents about the importance of it, and that it's not really taking away time from their sport, but the fact that it's actually going to enhance that sport and allow that kid to actually stay away from injury. So I feel like whatever time that kid has outside of their sport, that where they feel, you know, 100% or close to it, they need to be doing some type of strength training. And it doesn't even really have to be done with weights. It can just be with body weights. But they need to be doing some type of strength training because it's actually going to benefit them in their sport. It's not going to make them stiff or slow or anything like that. It's going to be what you call injury prevention. So just like teaching techniques, injury prevention, strength training is also injury prevention. And so, like I said, getting that kid in, even if it's just once a week, get them in that once a week would do wonders for them. Or if that kid usually in off season just kind of goes and does some more technique work, maybe getting that kid in the gym a little bit more and, you know, maybe cutting the technique work in half maybe to help that kid reduce injury. Because the thing is that as the kids get older, they're going to hit puberty. They're going to get stronger because of puberty. And so their body needs to get stronger with them. And so, if, like I said before, if that kid's producing that same amount of force but can't support it, eventually that risk is going to come. So that kid at 9 may have gotten away with it a little bit, but at 14, it may be a different story. So that's, like I said, that's a gap we're fighting to bridge with them and get them to understand that we're doing this to benefit your kid, not to take time away from the sport they love to do, but actually to help them stay in that sport. So,
yeah, it's definitely a trying to find the balance. I know we worked with the club volleyball team for a couple of years. And
yes, sir.
They were pretty consistent, but trying to find that balance where they're always tired from playing.
Exactly.
And then, you know, keeping them injury, you know, out of injuries, and certainly don't want to injure them in the gym.
Exactly.
That's the whole point of coming to the gym is keep you from getting injured.
Yes, sir. Exactly.
Gym so is definitely a balance with the year-round sports. All right, so, well, thanks, Braylon, today. I'm sure we'll talk more.
Yes, sir.
But I just want to kind of let people get to know you a little bit better and a little bit more about our Parisi Speed School as well and kind of what our goals are kind of with that training. If you have any questions, you obviously can reach out to our website at Alliance Champions Training Center, and then also, through to Braylon as well. Do you want to give your contact information as
sure.
well?
Sure. You can reach me via cell phone at 864-906-0013, or you can email me on my personal email at Braylon, which is BRAELEN 53@yahoo.com. Or you can even reach out to me on Facebook. You just type in Braylon once again, BRAELEN, and then the last name is Meredith, MEREDITH, and I'll pop up. Or on Instagram, if you just type in my first name, Braylon, BRAELEN, and then 27, which is my college number, and I'll pop up on Instagram. You can reach me at any of those, and I'm always available. So.
Yeah. And then, we still have our like evals we can do with kids
yes,
as
sir.
Well. So,
yes, sir. And that's usually our first step process for anybody that reaches out and is curious about the Parisi Speed School. Yep. Kind of set up an eval first.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Braylon, for your time.
Yes, sir.
And, we'll probably get you on here again later if you're good with that.
Yes, sir.
Go into more detail on some other subjects as well.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.